Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Okay, so now then we've discussed so far that in discussing about the absolute truth, then you have those that base their whole premise or understanding or search after God on empiricism. So that's one group. The other group will base it on faith. Then those that base it on faith, then there are those who are going to basically give you answers about the absolute truth based on the constitutional understanding or the transcendental understanding, and the others are going to give you based on their conditional understanding. Then of those who are dealing with the conditional understanding, you have basically two groups, the karmis and the jnanis. Right? One that's going to be based on fruitive activities, saying the material world is real, and by proper performance of activities, then being pious, then you can better your situation in the material world. And the other group is going to say that the material world actually doesn't exist. There's only the Brahman that is beyond the material world. Right? But they don't still know about Godhead. Right? So both of them at this point aren't that focused on the Supreme Lord, though they may talk about it, but their ultimate, what they're trying to establish is not, you could say, as such, you know, what we'd call devotional, you know, in the real transcendental sense. Does that make sense? Yeah? So then, okay. So basically he's saying is that what we're going to discuss now, because the book is divided into two parts. First part is dealing with the realizations that are there of the, it means on the answers of the conditioned soul. Right? The second part will be on answers given by the transcendentally situated living entities. Does that make sense? Right? So okay. So the first study is all about the different varieties of philosophy and religion in the material world. So continuing, conditioned doctrines are of innumerable types, whereas the characteristic doctrine is homogeneous. Let us first of all briefly delineate the conditioned doctrines, and thereafter the discussion about the characteristic doctrine will follow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here characteristic means what is actually the nature of the soul. So Prabhupada used the term constitutional. Okay. Among the conditioned doctrines, materialism is a most prominent one. As a secondary division, this is again distinguished as 1, doctrine of material bliss, and 2, the doctrine of materialistic extinction. Right? So here we're counting karma and jnana as materialism. Right? So because we're comparing it, we're starting from the top down, so we're comparing it. We're comparing it to, those are the seven sisters. They always fly in groups of seven. And no matter where they are in the world, they make the same amount of noise. I've seen them even in Australia. And they still move in groups of seven. Okay, so you're talking about you're starting with the constitutional nature of the soul and the understandings on that constitutional position. So when you drop down from that, the only other option then basically is materialism, right? So you have transcendence and materialism. So in the materialism, then within theirs, they will think that they're very elevated. So that'll include karma, jnana, and yoga, right? So within that, then you have even the person is liberated still, but that perception of liberation is coming from the material platform. It's not, the perception is not spiritual. One may be situated transcendentally, but it doesn't actually mean that the living entity himself is transcendental. Does that make sense? You're transcendental in that you're transcendental to the material world, but you're not transcendental that you're transcendental to the material consciousness. Because until the idea of I am the enjoyer is given up, there is no transcendental consciousness, really. Or you could say spiritual consciousness. Does that make sense? Because otherwise they still think I'm the controller and enjoyer, I'm God. One just tries to, one puts more on the controller, the other puts more on the enjoyer. Does that make sense? Like that. So even they are situated on Brahman, they will come back. Because unless they come in contact with the Lord and his devotees, how will they stay there? Right? Because they're only there, their inspiration is the material world's not good. Not that the spiritual world is better. They don't know about the spiritual world. So the inspiration is the material world is bad. So once they get out and they relax and they're comfortable, then they'll want to do something. And as soon as they want to do something, what do they know how to do? Anything actually spiritual? No, only material. Because karma, jnana means you give up materialism. I mean, excuse me, you give up material endeavor. But it doesn't mean that you give up the material concept of I'm the controller and enjoyer. Does that make sense? Yes.
So when you come in contact with the devotees, so you can be starting to endeavor in that direction, but then still there's the conditioned nature. It's not that it's suddenly cut the tendency to think I'm the controller and the enjoyer. It's like the crossroads.
It's the habit is there. Yes, the crossroads. Technically speaking, it means there's the, in other words, there's going to be our viewpoint and then there's the actual viewpoint, right? Same like what's being presented here. So the actual viewpoint is you're not actually conditioned, you're liberated. But by habit, the only activities we know how to do are think and act materially. So we will continue to do like that, though technically you're not conditioned. But because of thinking and behaving according to a material habit, conditional habit, you are going to therefore create that situation again for yourself. I'm saying you do a material activity, it then generates a seed to do it again. You know what I'm saying? So only devotional service can actually get rid of that. But from our viewpoint, because we only know the conditioned state, even if we are situated better, we still don't know that. You know, we know it's a little nicer, it's a little more, you know, pleasant and inspiring, but it's we will generally take it as just a nicer situation. So I like this because I'm happier here, right? As we can see from Shikshastakam, the devotee is saying, I'm happy because Krishna's happy. So even if I am, my situation that I'm in, I'm not necessarily happy about the situation, right? But if Krishna, that gives Krishna happiness, that makes me happy. So therefore, I will be happy. Right? But for us, it's like, I perform devotional service, the situation improves, therefore I'm happy. My anxieties go away, I'm happy. My facilities are better, I'm happy. I'm, you know, surrounded by people who are, you know, nicer people and can interact and you can trust, I'm happy. You know what I'm saying? So it's still about ourselves. But it's progressive because that about ourself is in connection with Krishna. So the whole point is if it's touched Krishna, connected to Krishna in any way, that makes it better. That makes it special. Right? So that's what we're looking for. And then as it goes, then it will become more and more towards Krishna. That's why the Vedic literatures, you'll see that some of them are talking, they're just inspirational, that you just do this and everything will move forward and everything's perfect. And other ones will be picking apart your position wherever you're at and showing where the weaknesses are and the strengths are. So they're two different things. One is just inspired to go forward. The other is so that you actually know what progress you've made and so you don't, in ignorance, allow something to become an obstacle when it shouldn't be. Does that make sense? Okay. So materialistic extinction means you're getting rid of materialism. You know, you're getting rid of the material platform. But at the same time, it's not just removal of it, it's extinction, because you yourself, because it's a whole materialistic concept of the self, that if you get rid of materialism, you get rid of yourself in the process. Does that make sense? It means material life is an illusion, so therefore my body, mind, everything is an illusion. Therefore, if I get rid of materialistic life, then I get rid of myself. Right? Because then I merge into the Brahman. It's all one. But they think I'll be happy, but how will I be happy if it's all one? If I merge, how will I be able to appreciate that I'm happy? Right? So the Buddhists, they don't even talk about that. It's just peace. Yes.
Is it that you don't even actually merge, even though they think they're merging?
You never merge. It's like they give the example of the green bird and the green tree. So when the green bird flies into the green tree, does it stop existing? No, but they're foolish enough they can't see that. They say it's all green. Yes, so they just want to see the commonness like that. The jiva like that is Brahman and it's all one. Yes, it's one on one level, but it's still different on another. We say the same thing. It's simultaneously one and different. So the green bird, the green tea is one. But at the same time, they are different. One's a tree, one's a bird. Right? One's got green feathers, one's got green leaves. There is a difference. Yeah, and that green bird can fly back out of the green tree. But most people don't think like that, because they just want to hear that, so that as soon as they hear it, it stops. Does that make sense? You know, it's like, say, you know, you get this thing and then you'll be happy and everything like that. No one thinks about it that, okay, I got this car, I'll be happy, but I can't stay in the car 24 hours a day. So what's going to happen when I'm not in the car? But they don't want to think. They just want to think, yes, I'll always be happy. Does that make sense? So like that, then the living entity, if his happiness is through philosophy, then as soon as he hears what he wants to hear, then they stop looking.
So you think it's completely selfless, but really it's...
It's completely self-centered. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls it, doctrines of materialism. Conditioned religious doctrines, materialism is the most prominent one. Right? Prominent one, and then divides it into two, karma and jnana. There's not a whole lot outside of that. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Is that? Okay. The thorough discussion of these two doctrines will be done later. What is materialism? That will be shown first. The conclusion of all types of materialistic doctrines is that either the soul or the inert matter, all of these are only the product of material nature. Right? So some of them look at the soul as a product, and some look at it as matter as a product. Right? But the soul, but they're not understanding that they're all coming from the Lord. Like that, they can't distinguish between how it's coming from the Lord and manifesting by the Lord's order, but it's according to our interests. Well, let us even say that it is more according to, it would be according to the interests, but it's according to what interests could be there in the conditioned soul, right? Because you can't be interested in something beyond the 8,400,000 species, or beyond all the situations that are there, right? It's either in the land or on the air or in the sky. You know, on flat lands, or on the mountains, or in the forests, or in the, you know, so all these have already been created. You have 14 planetary systems, right? So all that's been done. So there's nothing else beyond that, nothing else besides that. So if there is a situation that's being arranged because of others' involvement like that, then, and you have that common thing, then you'll be put there. If there's not around here, then you'll be moved to a different universe where it is happening. Like that. So we're thinking, wow, that's a big move. But for Mahavishnu, it's the distance between one pore and the next. You know. Like that. So it's not really a big deal. Like that. That's why it says, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavaji. traveling from universe to universe like that. So, you know, generally everything's available around this part, but just in case it's not, then you can get a transfer. You know, to get exactly in the right, you know, side of the track, railroad track, with the right angle of light, with the right amount of, you know, cows or dogs walking on top of you, and, you know, other things like that. If it's not exactly there here, then they'll find it somewhere else. And you'll get your spot, you know, just the way you want it.
Yes. By creating different jivas to come as instruments in different ways.
No, no, not by creating different jivas. Means the jivas are already there.
Yeah. Well, by us getting purified and directed in different ways,
it does change, but it doesn't mean that what you've done before doesn't have effect on what's now.
Yeah.
In other words, you're working, it's just like this. You worked last, let's say. No, how would that work? Means your previous activities are going to give you results now and for however much in the future that they would naturally have come. And what activities you do now is going to generate what happens in the future. So there's going to be an overlap of the results of your activities now and the results of the activities of the past. So if you're consistent in performing of a particular standard your activities of the present, if that you're always doing that, at some point the activities of the past stop, and all you'll be getting is the results from activities of the present. You know what I'm saying? But to work on that's how you're going to be happy in the material sphere, then you never know. Some of these things can give results for many, many lifetimes. You know what I'm saying? So there's always going to be such an overlap and a mix of things. And what you do now can even affect what you would get from the past. You know, if you were supposed to get some good result from the past, but you're behaving in such a way that would reduce that. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you're doing something in the past, you should have lots of money, but you do something now that you shouldn't have money, you can lose that money from the past. You know what I'm saying? Because you're doing something now that you should lose money, but you're losing money that you've already made. You know what I'm saying? Is that? Yeah. So it doesn't necessarily still keep coming in that case. You know, but if you're performing proper activity, then it won't encumber anything from the past. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Okay. What is materialism? That will be shown first. The conclusion of all types of materialistic doctrines is that either the soul or the inert matter, all these are only the product of material nature. Okay. Without the materialistic world, there was no existence of such things called sentience. Knowledge about the so-called God is quite useless. Material nature itself is the eternal principle. In the name of God, if any person or principle is imagined, then the creator of that God also must be investigated. Okay. If any principle is imagined, means if there is a creation of a god, all right, or persons, then who has created that? That should be looked into, right? Because material nature is an eternal principle, so God should be an eternal principle. So you can't create. Does that make sense? Therefore, the existence of God itself is untenable. All the parables which have been written in the various religious books of various lands regarding the God and their explanation of the conditions of jiva souls in the worlds beyond death are nothing but the imagination of the cheats. There is no element of truth in them. The thing called spirit or the sentience is the inherent quality of the matter, and it is generated by the successive and inverse associations of various material principles. Okay, so because they don't distinguish, they don't know what is the spirit or what is matter. They can't actually tell. You can only, if by getting in parampara, then you can actually understand these things. So the living entity, what he perceives as himself, or the sentient being, is actually the mind. If you think about it, what you think is yourself is the mind. The body, the mind, your intelligence, your ego, it's not the soul, right? The one who's thinking about all these things, that's the soul. But all the things we identify as the soul are not the soul. So it's all materialism. That makes sense? So you have to take this also in balance of what he said before, because he did say that, you know, all these different world religions like that, the various doctrines of materialism, positivism like this, okay, there the religion is told to be God-given, as known by the names of Christianity, Mohammedism, and like that. So they're God-given, but we also have to distinguish between what is God-given and how people actually understand it and practice it. Yes?
So when we operate spontaneously, we're not thinking about ourselves, we're just engaging service, is at that point, even when you stop to think about even the concept of what position you're in, at that point it becomes a mind.
It becomes a mind, well, then you drop, no, because you're noticing what's happening. You have not, this is a different, slightly different thing. It means you're doing your service and all that, that is you experiencing it. You know what I'm saying? But the tendency is you're going to tend to do that through the mind and the senses and everything like that. So that element is going to remain. But the problem comes is then when you stop and start to think about it, then you won't be experiencing it. You know what I'm saying? Because you're contemplating it. So the gaining of understanding or knowledge through the experience of it will be lost, right? So that, what is it? Pratyaksha, paroksha, aparoksha. The aparoksha situation will be lost, because then you're going to be looking at it, right? So now if you're only observing it, you know, then it comes to pratyaksha. If that's based on shabda authority, then it becomes philosophical speculation. So then you're trying to see how it is, you know, you and the situation you're in and the experience you're gaining in application of the philosophy, if it's matching and working, right? But if it's not based on shabda, or it's not based on actual God realization, like that, even if it is based on shabda, then that will be mental speculation. So you're just working with the mind because you don't actually have the personal understanding. Does that make sense? So, because they can't identify actually what the soul is, because the impersonalist actually technically is making the point there isn't a soul. It's all just one. So somehow or another that one has been broken up into many, and they're all, you know, like that. They have all kinds of weird answers why they would deal with this stuff. But you know, they don't. It doesn't work right. You know what I'm saying? They're unable to answer these things. So technically speaking, they are all what they're doing is attaching it to the mind. You know, generally those who are more into karma are attaching it more to the body, and those who are in the path of jnana more to the mind. Right? But both of them have the commonality of the mind, but the karmi, the mind is, you know, for the emotions and the feelings and all that. Well, for the jnani, then the only thing he's worried about is his bliss and that kind of thing, you know, that peace and all that. So he doesn't get involved in the, you know, your standard, you know, relationships in karma that would give you the variety of, you know, happiness and distress and all these different things. Does that make sense? But in both of them, they're actually just dealing with the mind. Okay, the thing called spirit or the sentience is the inherent quality of the matter, and it is generated by the successive and inverse associations of various material principles. Right, successive means one after another, or inverse is this way and then it's that way. You know, if it's If it's got form, then spiritual means no form. You know, if, you know, engaging in karma gives you anxiety, therefore if I give up all activity, then I will be. So that's the inverse. Otherwise, it's just I do this, and then after that I do that, and then the next thing. And does that make sense? So it's, so therefore, successive and inverse associations. When this process is again reversed, the sentience thus generated gets extinguished by attaining the original state of its entrance into the materials. Like that. Amazing English, no? Heard of Amazing Grace? Well, this is amazing. Like that. Amazing how you can understand it. That's the basic principle. So here, sentience is used to mean the soul. Okay, and entrance into the materials. Okay. So, in other words, they have this idea when you, so you have all these things, and so these various things, or inverse means attachment and repulsion, can mean like that if you're dividing it this way. Then when you reverse that whole process, that then is your, these how you say, schools that will then say that there, you know, there is no soul in either, are void, or you merge in the Brahman. Does that make sense? So you're going to reverse the whole process and get out of the material world, and then there'll be nothing. Right? Does that make sense? It says generated gets extinct. Right? Or extinguished by going the original state before it came into the material world. Right? So you get your voidism or what do you call it? Impersonalism. Either one of those. Because technically speaking, Mayavad is just covered Buddhism. It doesn't really get, because real impersonalism means you exist, everything else always exists, so everything's eternal, everything's Brahman. So there's no question of anything stopping to exist. The illusion is that you don't understand your Brahman. The illusion is everything's illusion. The illusion is I don't understand I'm Brahman. So the pillar, everything can stay, because it's all Brahman. But the Mayavadis say all what you see, all this is illusion. So therefore, when you attain to the actual state, proper state of perfection, then all this will just disappear, because it doesn't exist in the first place. You are creating this. You know what I'm saying? So it's actually Buddhism. It's just, you know, been covered a little bit, so it brings it into the Vedas. Because right, the whole point of Shankara is to bring people back to the Vedas, have faith in the Vedas, so that their shabda is again established authority. People are misusing authority, therefore it was taken away from them. Right? And then having been taken away, then they just work on the basic principles that the Shastra gives, you know, be nice, be good, don't steal, nonviolence, like this. It's the same, what Manu says are the basic principles of human existence. So that they were given that, and then just, that's what they do. Right? So then once they get, they're peaceful and are no longer attached, you know, generation after generation is there, so it's gone. No one's worried about the karmakanda, you know, sacrifices to kill the animals and all that. So therefore, now you can bring back the Veda. And so when he's bringing it back, how do you bring back the Veda and Vaishnavism, or even, you know, the Brahmavadi, you know, Brahmavad platform to Buddhists? Right, so you have to give them something that basically is actually the same conclusion, just a different detail. You know, so you change the detail, but the principle remains the same. Right, if you're a cook, right, then and you know cooking, then I can show you a different cuisine and you can accept it because the commonality of the principle of cooking is the same. Does that make sense? Like that, though the detail is different. So you think, oh, it's a completely different kind of cooking. No, it's actually the same kind of cooking, just different materials are used in the process. The process of cooking is the same. This makes sense? Right. So, therefore, your Mayavad and your Buddhism are basically the same thing. You know, there's nothing, or it's all, you know, it's just all light. So it's just a matter of whether you left the light switched on or you turn it off when you're self-realized. That's all. Otherwise, it's the same thing. There's no soul. So they say from the beginning there's no soul. Like that, there's only the mind. So you get rid of the mind, then there's nothing. Right? Then, but the others are saying that there's the soul, but the souls come from the Supreme. So they have, each one of them have their own convoluted Okay, yes.
And what do they mean by the statement, Brahma Satyam Jagat Nitya?
They're saying is that the Brahman is real, but everything you see in this material world, all forms and everything, all experiences are illusion. Right?
The Mayavadi say this.
Yeah, that's how they say it. We will say that there is illusion, there is Maya, like the first verse of Bhagavatam mentions that. It's unreal. What's unreal is that we think it's something that it's not. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, it's like, let us say, you know, the child finds his father's wrench, right? So he thinks it's a great shovel to use out in his backyard. So, because he thinks it's a shovel, that's the illusion. But the wrench does exist. You know what I'm saying? The building is here. The illusion is it's my building, you know, and I'll be happy by living in my building. That's the illusion. So what we perceive of as the world, that's illusion, but the world exists. Right? You already said here the material world, that's the eternal principle. But people's view of it, that's the conditional state. Right? Because the liberated souls can come here and function. They don't have a problem. It's just, you know, instead of being in the, you know, nice house and that, you know, they're out in the, you know, how you say, the yard for, you know, where you keep all the garbage and stuff like that. You know. Does that make sense? So it's just part of the scene, but it's just, it's not where they'd hang out. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Rebirth in the form of transmigration is not possible for the soul. Liberation of the soul, as professed by the salvationists, is an impossibility since the quality of any substance is non-different from it. Right? Is an impossibility because the quality of any substance is not different from it. So, therefore, the quality of... Okay, now if they're saying that the soul, if it's going to actually be liberated, then it has to actually be transcendental in the first place. And it has to exist. Right? As an individual. Otherwise, how does the individual get liberated? So if the quality is not there, then... How do you say? It means Krishna, he has the qualities. So when he creates the spiritual world and material world, it has the same qualities of him. Spiritual world is the qualities are the same and non-different. Material world is just very small amount, so it's nothing special. But it's the same as him. So that means their philosophy that they're dealing with of the soul can't be different than the qualities that they attribute to the soul. Right? So if the soul is conditioned, how he'll be liberated? Because he's conditionable. Does that make sense? Because they don't know that the soul is eternal servant of Krishna. Therefore, it can be covered by Krishna's potency. But they're taking it that the soul is coming from Brahman and has you know, is Brahman, but is in illusion thinking that it's something separate from Brahman, though it's actually Brahman. But if they can separate it, how will it go back? You know what I'm saying? So these contradictions in what it is means, in other words, the quality of it, it can only do something that's within the quality that it has. So if you accept the transcendental qualities of the soul, then all these things are possible. But they're not accepting that. Does that make sense? So therefore, they're going to limit their cause and effect within the conditioned viewpoint that they have on the object that they're dealing with. Does that make sense? You know, the child can never use the wrench as a wrench because to them it's a shovel. Right? So there is no actual, they can never actually be liberated. Because the nature of the soul itself in their mind is that which is conditioned. So their religion has to be based on that. So therefore, the soul can never actually be, have salvation. Right? Even though they profess it. You know, it's just like people say they're going to be happy here if they get money. Do they become happy? Not really. Maybe temporarily they got the money, they're happy, they buy a few things, they're happy, and then... So in the same way as they can say whatever they want, you can say, well, my eyes don't say that, but that doesn't, or they say that you'll be happy, they don't say you won't, but it doesn't matter. You have to remember they're conditioned, so they don't actually know what they're talking about. Does this make sense? Therefore, phenomenal matter itself is the substance and all other things are its qualities. Right? So that's what he mentioned before is materialism. The material world is the eternal principle. So everything's based on the material world. So then it is the substance and everything else is its qualities. Right? Because they want to be happy. They want to be eternal. Right? But the eternalists are actually getting because they're dealing with material nature. They're not getting eternality from the Supreme Lord. They're getting eternality from the material world. They're getting happiness from the material world. They're not getting it from the constitutional. You understand that? Here's where the split is. Does this make sense?
Enjoy forever in heaven.
Yeah, enjoy forever in heaven. Any of these things. Because right now he's taking the thing of the salvations because the other ones are much easier to deal with. But in any case, in the materialism, they're taking the qualities from the material world. So, yeah, eternal happiness, you know, that, you know, everything will be nice, or that just element of just oneness, because the material energy has pradhan. Its natural state is pradhan, where all the qualities are just one. You know, it's peaceful, it's inert, nothing's happening, nothing's going wrong, no one's upset, you know. So all the qualities they're getting to come from the material world, because how would they know what's beyond? Unless you have gotten it from somebody beyond, how can you know it? Right? The materialistic living entity is in the material world. Right? And the materialistic living entity in the material world is unable to know anything beyond the material world, unless you come in contact with someone from beyond. Does that make sense? So, therefore, you're going to make everything according to that. The person's in a prison. He's never been outside. He has no idea. So, he doesn't like in the prison. So, he'll come up with ideas of what it should be like. But all his ideas will be based on the prison. Right? Just like a dream. All your dreams will be based on what happens to you. Anything someone can come up with is based on things that they've seen. Does that make sense? So, therefore, their whole, all their basis of everything is all material. It's not spiritual. They're not actually spiritual, they're not actually spiritualists, you know, in the constitutional sense of the word. Right? Here they may be called good, right? You know, it's just like we were listening for so many days of, you know, many people coming and doing varieties of, you know, kirtan performances that are supposedly having a musical quality to it. And they will be chosen for that, right? They present themselves as musicians, you know, as kirtaniers, and they're hired based on that, right? So amongst that community, they may be considered musicians. You know what I'm saying? But if you took somebody who is actually could, you know, hit a note and hold it without going off key, they would might consider them not actually good musicians. Does this make sense? Right? You know, so that's the way it is that in your own little world, you may be very great, you know. You sing in the shower, everyone thinks you're, you know, a great singer, but if you go out and, you know, try to sing in the, you know, the choir or something, then they might throw you out. You're bad. Does that make sense? So, therefore, all these persons are taking the material world, and from observing that, then they, and from their conditioning, then they're coming up with these ideas of what it would be like if they elevated themselves. Right? But they're still taking these qualities from the material world. They're not taking, impersonalists, how are they going to take them from God? They don't believe in Him. the other materials, how they're going to take from God. What's the connection? You're saying God is eternal. Well, how does that work? What does that look like? Beautiful. What does it look like? So they can only go by what they see here. Right? Yes?
Does that include sub-religions based on the Vedas?
No, here we're talking about the impersonalists and all that. You're talking about, you know, what would be the top end. You're talking about the karmis and jnanis. So then you're talking about basically those who are karmis who work on dharma, artha, and kama, right? And the jnanis who work on moksha. So you basically covered materialism, you know? Does that make sense? So within that, then there'll may be subdivisions. There'll be made subdivisions of each one. Let's see how this unfolds. Okay? Then we'll get... Okay. Therefore, phenomenal matter itself is the substance, and all other things are its qualities. Right? He's talking about from their point of view. In reality, according to that, you understand what I'm saying? We're not saying that it is substance. It's saying for them, it means we understand as substance, but real substance is Krishna. Therefore, we'll say this is not substance. Substance is Krishna. Right? But this is real. So it's a very minor substance. But they base everything on that. So from their platform, in other words, you're using their platform to show that it won't work. Right? They present their own philosophy, and instead of necessarily opposing it and just saying it's wrong, you just take their own philosophy, and with their own philosophy, prove that it doesn't work. Does that make sense? So the, how you say, philosophical Aikido, right? All these materialistic doctrines have been agreed to by all the atheists. A certain class among them has ascertained that the material happiness itself is the ultimate end. The other class of atheists conduct their inquiry after the bliss of annihilation, knowing that the material happiness is transient and quite unwholesome. Right? So of these two kinds of atheists, then one is that the material happiness is what you're into, and the other know that that material happiness comes and goes, so it's not that, so therefore annihilation of the soul. Then that's annihilation. This is annihilation. There's a different pronunciation. I'm not sure. I think I've heard it said differently. Then it refers to extinguishing. Okay. Now let us discuss about the views of those who follow the doctrines of material bliss. Okay, now we've made that clear, these two? Okay, and how their philosophy is weak because they are not understanding that their viewpoints are coming from the very material existence that their environment that are in. So they think it's spiritual, they're going up, but they're just developing better within it. That's all. Just within it and getting better facilities, or within it getting rid of all facilities so there's no hassles. Right? Does that make sense? So now he's going to then get into the views of these, you know, and probably within that he's going to now break it down. Well, now let's discuss about these views of those who follow the doctrines of material bliss. Okay, so now we're going to take the karmi side of it instead of the jnani side of it. Once again, they are of two types, namely that of one selfish material bliss and that of unselfish material bliss. Okay? So the karmis will have these two breakdowns. Followers of selfish bliss, material bliss, conclude that when there is no existence of God, soul, worlds beyond death, and the consequence of one's activities, then let us voluptuously engage yourself in the sensual pleasures by being somewhat cautious against the immediate consequences. It's amazing how they so nicely put it, right? You know, because, okay, is that clear? So the one is that there is nothing, there is no rules, and that just somehow or another you see that there is a pattern, so you don't do something that's immediately going to give you a problem. In other words, within your perspective, it's not going to be a problem. Right? If it's long enough away that the problem comes up but you don't notice it's come up, then it's okay. Does that make sense? But if you notice it, then that was a little too quick. You make adjustments so that you don't do that again. Right? There's no use in unnecessarily wasting the time in religious activities, right? Here is now, let us discuss. This is how they take it. Why deal in religious activities? You can just enjoy now. Right? This kind of belief has been prevailing in the human society from time immemorial. So it's always been there. Right? It's just a matter of whether you accept the Vedas or not, your pravritti. So someone who situates themselves on, you know, artha and kama, they don't necessarily worry about anything beyond that. Even they can follow themselves in dharma. So they will perform the activities and get all their facilities and then try to enjoy that. That's the whole purpose. So their dharma and artha is simply for kama. Like that. The dharma is not for elevating yourself. Like that, beyond that. So in other words, if it from dharma you get artha and kama, that's natural. But if it stops there, then that's considered unfortunate. But if from dharma artha, from the dharma you get artha and kama, then from that you try to free yourself from the material sphere, then that's a better right person. But still it's atheistic until the dharma artha is used as a medium to free yourself from the material nature so you can express your devotion to the Lord, right, and situate yourself there. Right? So therefore your engagement of the artha and kama, your dharma artha and kama, has been from the mood of detachment, right? So that's the moksha, that you've done all that for the Lord's pleasure. So that's the bhakti. So that's Buddha yoga. It uses all of them, right? Well, this one then doesn't. Okay. This kind of belief has been prevailing in the human society from time immemorial due to the defects of unholy company and evil activities. Right? So bad association, then you can come up with this. Doctrine of this type has never been seen to become society oriented. Mm-hmm. Right, so it doesn't. So varnashram and all these things generally will not be the main thrust. Or it doesn't become a prominent element because of the selfishness of it. It can't grow too much. You know, it's just like Ebola. You know, it's so virulent that it destroys its host before it can actually spread to anybody else. So that's why even though it's one of the strongest diseases, you hardly ever hear about it, because as soon as someone gets it, they immediately die, so it can't go to someone else. You know what I'm saying? Well, it's something else like, you know, measles, it comes around and it can sit there for quite a while. It doesn't kill the host. The host can come in contact with others. Others can get it, and this way it can spread very nicely. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like that, so. Okay, so then we'll end here and then we'll go into the different kinds of, wow, even gets into names. Okay, you got Charvak in India, Yanchu in China, Leucippus of Greece, Sardanapalus of Middle Asia, Lucretius of Rome, von Holbach, like that. You have all these different things. You know, it gets right down into it. You know, who are the prominent? And at the same time, is have you ever heard of these guys? So it's there. So his point is, it never becomes too universal because it's too self-centered. Right? While the other one, where it's that, what did he say? Two kinds, selfish and unselfish material bliss. So the unselfish, others can relate to more, like that. So I can maintain a little of selfishness, but at least it's the environment. It's the society thing is that of selfless. Okay. Those ones grow. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samavita Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nita, Gaur Premanandi. Far out, huh?
Mm-hmm.